Welcome to Your Future Is Now, hosted by Jim Grant and Bill Heinrich. Their show is dedicated to sharing information in business, health, and obstacles we face in our everyday lives. Jim is also the TV host of Messages of Inspiration and Hope on E360 TV. Bill is the author of 7 Levels of Truth and is a master in the world of getting clarity in your mind to clear out the cobwebs and remove mental barriers that hold you back. Each week, they will interview an exciting guest. We're so glad you've tuned in. Be sure to share the show. And now, here's Jim.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. Your Future Is Now is proudly brought to you by the good guys at the 6MinuteWebinar.com. That's SIXMinuteWebinar.com. And we are so honored to be here with you today, ladies and gentlemen. We just got a great guest with us, and we just found out that Tamara Bolton lives just very within 20 minutes or so of the studio Toginet Radio there in Tyler, Texas. So it's a small world. It's kind of like a hometown meeting for her and the good folks there at Toginet. And I'm joined today by Mr. Bill Heinrich. Bill is the author of The 7 Levels of Truth. He is a master in helping you get clarity in your mind. He gives a free 30-minute work with you for 30 minutes. And complimentary, and you can line that up if you go to truelifepurposenow.com. That's 4 words, truelifepurposenow.com. In addition to that, Mr. Bill is the co-creator of the 6-Minute Webinar. He is also the honorary host here on Toginet Radio. Mr. Bill, how are you doing today, my man?
I'm doing great today, Jim. How are you?
Fine, fine. Glad to have you, brother.
Yeah. We've been working hard on the 6-Minute Webinar and having some great results with it. So people are just loving it. The clarity they get is really, people are like, I don't have an interest in webinars. You don't need to do a webinar. All you have to do is go through our boot camp and learn how to write a 6-minute script on what you do for business, speaking to your perfect client. And after you've created that script, you will have a whole new perception. It's amazing how people's perception of their business changes, Jim, after they go through the 6-Minute Webinar Bootcamp. It's amazing. They change their entire language.
Absolutely. And that 6-Minute Webinar, ladies and gentlemen, what blows me away about it is not just for writing scripts and all that. It's applicable in all areas of your life, because if you want to give a presentation or if you need to speak somewhere at a luncheon or whatever, you can use the 6-Minute Webinar to do precisely that, because it organizes your thoughts. It gets your message in a very clear, followable, what I call a followable path. And I tell you what, it is second to none, isn't it, Bill?
It's really the framework. What happens in the 6-Minute Webinar is you answer 40 questions and then the script gets printed for you. So like Jim said, anything we do, anything I do in business, I do a 6-Minute Webinar on it. Yes. Because it takes me through 12 critical steps and I get to see what I want to complete, what the obstacles are, what the benefits are, how it's going to help people. Or if it's just something I'm looking for clarity on, I'll do it. Just to see what's bothering me and what steps I can take to move in a positive direction. So anyway,
yeah, it's an amazing,
it's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's really incredible.
It really is. And we got our guest today is Tamara Bolton, and Bill, you and her paths crossed somewhere. I asked Tamara before the show, I says, how did you meet Bill? She says, I don't really remember. It's been a little over a year ago, but after reading her credentials and what she's going to talk about, oh my goodness, I'm glad you guys met, Mr. Bill.
Yeah, I don't remember meeting you, Tamara. So, but hello again.
Right out of the gate, we got a lot in common, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. We went to different schools together, I think. But I'm really fascinated, Tamara, how you got. Tamara is the author of a number of books, all based on family memories. And what Tamara's here to speak about are the importance of family memories and making notes on them, you know. And it's Tamara, immediately after reading the write-up, what I thought about was how little the younger generations take advantage of communicating with the elders to really get the story about time and the stories of life. And so this is something that you're really focused on helping people solve. Is that right?
Yes, it is. That's one of my main focuses, is to get younger people interested in not only their family histories, but you know, taking those histories and preserving them in a way that makes them fun. I mean, kids nowadays, they, even my kids in my 30s, that my daughter and son, they do not want to sit down and necessarily read something for a long period of time. But I found that if I can put together a photograph album or a scrapbook and embed stories, it really does make them sit down and just look at things and start talking about it. And that's what I like to do, is start a conversation, because so many times we have opportunities when we get together as a family, we have all these different generations together, but instead of talking and actually interacting and exchanging those stories that we have as a family, funny things, sad things, whatever, it's usually just kids sitting around looking at their phones. You know, they're they're lost in this world that we have, the technology has created. And if we don't preserve these stories of our family and pass these along to this generation and somehow get through to them to see the importance of it, then those stories will be lost.
Mm-hmm. I like your idea about a scrapbook, because a scrapbook can tell an interesting story. And that's the key, is to make it interesting for the younger generation to be able to appreciate what their ancestors have done, either, you know, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on and so forth, because a lot of family history, we were visiting for the show, Bill, that I was telling Tamara that there's a lot of things that I found out about my grandfather and great-grandfather I did not know. And then I go like, wow, you know, it's just everybody has a story, and, you know, a true life story in their life. And, you know, the accomplishments, that's what's wonderful about life. Everybody overcomes some kind of obstacles, and they rise to a higher calling, and they do things. And most of the time it gets forgotten.
True, it does. And that's one thing I really want to emphasize, is that I think that you have to understand that every person has a story. It doesn't matter how insignificant they think they are. There are no insignificant people. And I like to emphasize that, because some of the greatest stories that I've heard have come from people who most people would, you know, overlook, I would say. You know, they, the aunt who maybe never traveled outside of the county, or the grandmother, you know, who stayed at home and raised the kids and just worked at church or whatever. But if you dig around and you start talking to those people, you hear the most amazing things that they have accomplished, just like you said. And those stories will die with them if we don't glean that information. And it's a real shame, because there's so many things about our families that most people don't know. And I just want to see those things preserved, because I feel like it's so important, especially in this day and time when everybody is kind of just wandering around, just they don't really have any anchor, it seems like, anymore. There's a lot of studies that I have read that actually give kids, if you give kids anchors, it will it will make a difference in not only their learning abilities, but it makes a difference in their confidence levels and everything. Even as they get to be teenagers, there's a huge difference when kids feel rooted and grounded and they know where they belong. So I think it's important.
It very much is. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead, Jim.
No, you're going to ask the question I was going to. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. How did you get how did you get involved in this? Tell us that story.
Well, I'll give you the short version. The short version is that I was always a snoopy little kid. And I would hide under the table at my grandmother's house and try to listen in, because I knew the adults would be talking about really good stuff. And so I learned a lot about our family history by being able to sneak around and listen when I really wasn't supposed to be. But I'm sure they knew I was there, but they let me get away with it, thank goodness, because I learned a lot of things about the story. So it was a pretty, I guess I just kind of grew into it. And as like an adult, I realized how important it was, because I saw those people in my family passing away without their stories being preserved. And that kind of led to this. So.
That's really amazing. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah. And then, so how did that lead you on the path to want to write the books and such?
Well, I just felt like it was an important enough thing to preserve the history for my kids and my grandkids. And I knew Dad's story was unique. The CB unit he was in World War II did some pretty amazing things that aren't in the history books. And I thought, well, if I don't write them, who will? So I did.
Oh, yeah.
And when did you start on that?
It took me almost 7 years to write the book. Yeah, I did a lot of interviews and things. And so a lot of research. And I interviewed about 25 guys in his unit before they died, which was a wonderful experience. So
wow.
It took, yeah.
That's incredible, because those 25 guys that served with him, they saw, you know, what he did, experienced his daily life as a soldier firsthand. And that is just priceless. It really is. And Bill, I tell you, I can't wait for the second leg. We get some more information from Tamara and what she's doing and the information she's got to share with others to help encourage them to research their family history. We're about ready to go to tunes. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes, ladies and gentlemen. So please stay with us. We look forward to being with Tamara Bolton right after this message.
Sponsor of Your Future Is Now, a show dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the vision and mission of Speaker Pathway. Dr. Sony Jackson's expertise is on the art of marketing while cultivating a long-term customer relationship in your business world. Do you know what to say or how to deliver your message to complete strangers? If so, Sony can help you. Tamara Hunter is a cancer survivor and works with people to focus their message or mission to the audience they want to reach. Do you feel called to create a movement to make the world a better place? If so, Tamara can help you. For additional information from any of our executive training directors, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
That Twitter is over 10 years old. Twitter was first launched in March of 2006, with the hashtag feature appearing about a year and a half later. Twitter employs more than 2,700 people around the world. Today, there are over 241 million active users on Twitter, with an average of 500 million tweets per day. Now that's a lot of traffic. A lot of new words have been coined from the Twitter app. A tweetheart is your Twitter boyfriend or girlfriend, and Twitterphoria is the feeling you get when they tweet you back. If you don't want to feel like a twittiot when you tweet, there's a whole list of proper twetiquette available. At first, even I was a bit of a Twitter phobe, but if you want to follow me at Too Funny Carolyn, that would be fantastic. I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future is Now here on the TogiNet radio station is proudly brought to you by the good guys at the 6MinuteWebinar.com. That's SIXMinuteWebinar.com. Mr. Bill Heinrich, the honorary host here on TogiNet Radio. He is the co-creator of the 6-Minute Webinar. He is also fondly known around the world as being the dean of the 6-Minute Webinar. Nobody has filled out more 6-Minute Webinars than Mr. Bill because he helps so many people, and they just love it, don't they, Bill?
You know, they have a lot of fun with my ability to bring such clarity to them of how they serve others. In fact, with our conversation with Tamara about memorializing family events and such, I've just finished a 6-minute webinar with a woman who does genealogy. Am I saying that right, Tamara? She's the family, the family lines. Yeah. We just did one for her. But before we went to break, you were talking about going around and interviewing the men that were in World War II with your father. How did this all begin? Go ahead.
Well, I decided to do it because I went to some military reunions, Iwo Jima Survivors Association reunions with my dad, and I looked around and I began to realize that, you know, every year guys were disappearing. You know, we were losing these guys pretty quickly. So in 2004, I decided to start interviewing the guys in his 31st CB unit left. And I actually spent 2 years interviewing them and just made a book out of it for the family of the guys. I didn't, you know, publish it or anything. I just wanted it to be a keepsake for the families. And then fast forward 10 years, about 10 years, I started looking around and realizing that Dad was almost the only one left. There was only a couple other guys. And I just felt this need to tell their story because it was so unique. And as far as I know, it's never been told in any history book. It's been touched on lightly. A couple of museums I've been to actually mentioned them, but it's just a very small role, which is not what they played in the whole Iwo Jima picture. They were a very integral part of that whole battle and the taking of the island. So I decided to start interviewing Dad. So I ended up with 34 interviews, video interviews. I did them on my smartphone. And then I spent the next 4 or 5 years transcribing them, researching, collaborating with the interviews that I had before and the stories I had from the guys. So a lot of that overlapped, which was great because I got the different perspectives that you don't always get. And when it comes to a battle and things like that, and the guys, you know, stories were so similar to Dad's. And so that's really a confirmation that, you know, his story was accurate. That was a wonderful thing. But you can hear his interviews and see the interviews, the Pacific, the war, the Pacific in Fredericksburg. Actually has the museum. They're in the archives, so anyone can go in there and request to hear Dad tell his stories, his own words, and see him. But the book really was a labor of love for the 31st CD battalion, and because I just fell in love with so many of those guys, I can't really talk about it without getting choked up. Because they still are so important to me and a part of my life, always will be. But that's the impact that stories can have on people. It can grab you and it can pull you into history in a way that nothing else can. You know, my mom, she's probably my role model in that, because she kept a journal all her life. And when we were little, things happened in our family. History, you know, happened while we were growing up. And when I go back and read her journals, and I read about the day that JFK got shot, the day that, you know, man walked on the moon, all mm-hmm. of these happenings were so much more real and rich and colorful, because they were set in the backdrop of my actual family history, my life. And it just made them, just more real to me. And mm-hmm. I think that's what we need to do for our kids. We need to make history come alive. You know, we're losing not just our family history, but we're losing our country's history. And I think if we make that come alive for people, and through our stories, our family stories, then mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to preserve them.
Wow, that's really amazing, because you're exactly right. Because, you know, like on our TV show, we're talking about, you know, last week about bringing families together and getting the kids involved and in their life and, you know, doing things together as a family. And that'd be a great thing. Just pick a date out of history and event like landing on the moon and, you know, mm-hmm. do the research on it. Let each kid give a little information on what they learned about that or what they discovered that they didn't know, because it's a great way of education, number one. But number two, to make the education fun. That's the thing that that's the key that makes it work. Because I know when I went to school, it wasn't fun for me, but I had to go through it anyway.
Well, a lot of kids, too, they, like you said, learning's not fun for them anymore. And one of the things I found out is if you get kids to talk to their grandparents or their older relatives and ask them what they were doing on those important days, mm-hmm. the kids not only get a new perspective, but the older people just come alive. I mean, you can see their eyes light up and, I remember where I was, what I was doing and who I was with. So I think the sharing of stories, the telling of stories is important. And mm-hmm. but it's so much more important, I think, to make sure we record those stories. Because if you're like me, my memory is getting less and less reliable. So I have to write everything down or I have to record everything. Mm-hmm. But if we do that in a way that, like I said earlier, make it fun, I think, people are more likely to do it. And that's what my book does. It just gives you hints. It gives you prompts. I have over 55 questions that you can ask to try to glean some information that might give you some things that are important. But especially if you have anyone, like my dad is 98, still going strong, still working, still doing all the things he wants to do except drive. Oh. And that's a treasure. But, you know, if you've got family members that age, don't mm-hmm. wait. You know, that's always caution people. Don't wait. Start today, because you'll be glad you did.
Mm-hmm. So what are some ways that people can start literally doing these? You had mentioned you do some recordings. What are some of the ways that it can be done?
Well, it's really easy to just whip out your smartphone and take a video. Ask a question. Say, you know, tell me about your childhood home, or did you have any pets growing up, or where were you when the moon, landing happened, or just whatever question you want to ask. You can ask them, what did they eat every evening? You know, what was their favorite meal when they were growing up as kids? Just ask them a question. And I tell you what, you better hope your battery is charged up, because once you get most people rolling, that's all they need, you know. And all you usually have to do is just, that's great. In between, and just keep them going, because most people, if you show interest, they want to talk. Now, it's a little different if you're approaching somebody about wartime experiences like I did. Some of those guys, it was like pulling teeth to get them to talk to me. And some of them, you know, were reluctant to talk at all. But I managed to get some little tidbits from everyone that I talked to. But but just take them and video them. If you want to jot a few notes down, if you'd like to have it written, you can do that. You can always transcribe it later. I would encourage you just to use whatever is most comfortable for you, and just start doing it. Don't wait, because even if you make a journal entry every day for your family, that's a start, and that will lead to something good.
Tamara, before we go to break, would you be so kind as to tell people the name of your book and where they can find it, please?
Yes, it's called The Art of Storykeeping, Saving History One Family at a Time, the Tamara McAnally Bolton, as I include my maiden name in that, and you can buy it through Amazon. I'm working on getting it in Goodreads. It's available there, and I'm working on several other outlets, but I haven't gotten them there yet. But it is a really helpful little book, and I would encourage anybody who's interested in saving family stories and preserving your history to get a copy and start doing it today.
Absolutely. Bill, that's really amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I find it really fascinating. In fact, I want to hear a little bit more about your father's story in World War II after we come back from break, because obviously it really, you did a lot of research and would have some fascinating information about that, and also about interviewing the people that were with him, and how difficult that was for so many of them. I'm sure you can understand that, Jim, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like my granddaughter, she says, I'm very proud to have my grandfather served in Vietnam, but she don't know anything about it. And it's not an easy thing to share. You just don't want to talk about it. Other soldiers you can talk to, but, you know, it just doesn't roll off your tongue very, very easy at all. It really doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating. Well, I've got a lot more questions for Tamara when we return. We're going to be going to tunes here. We'll see you in a minute.
This show, Your Future Is Now, is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com, and just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people to find their future. Is fear holding you back from your calling or your life mission? Do you struggle with taking that first step? If so, Bill Henrich is our catalyst to help you create perspectives with new possibilities that will bring you more peace, more joy, more love in your life, and freedom. Do you struggle trying to build your strategy? Do you know how to reach your end results? If not, Gigi Ames is your expert in strategy and helping you create your step-by-step game plan to reach your finish line. For more information on creating the life you want to live, reach out to Bill Henrich. Or if Gigi Ames can help you with building your strategy with your end goal in sight, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
It's merging and revert.
Did you know there are a lot of good paying jobs that your inner child would enjoy? How about ice cream taster? According to Mental Floss magazine, a professional ice cream taster samples up to a pint of the frozen stuff a day. I guess getting brain freeze is an occupational hazard. What's the medical term for brain freeze? Phenopalatine ganglioneuralgia. Tasters often have a food science or dairy science degree. One professional food taster, John Harrison, actually insured his taste buds for $1 million. What's another word for an ice cream treat? A G-dunk. Other kid-alt jobs are comic book inspector, amusement park ride tester, and professional Lego builders.
It's merging and revert.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Futures Now is proudly brought to you by the good guys at the 6MinuteWebinar.com. That's SIXMinuteWebinar.com. And I'm joined today by the honorary host here, Mr. Bill Heinrich. And Bill, I tell you right now, Tamara's really opened up a great information, just very interesting in how she was able to go in and get these World War II vets to talk about Iwo Jima. And I'm just really impressed with her. How about you, brother?
Yeah, I find it really fascinating, actually. In fact, what year was it when your dad was on Iwo Jima?
Well, he actually went in the third morning. The battle started in February 19th, 1945, and he went in the third morning. And he was there on the beach in a foxhole for 2 months after that. Yeah, a lot of people think that the battle ended when the flag went up, you know, the famous flag raising photograph. But no, that was just more or less to say that they weren't going to be shooting from the top of Mount Suribachi anymore. But in actuality, they still did after that. But it was kind of a, I guess a morale booster.
Oh yeah.
For the guys, and it was a great PR for back home, because at that point in the war, a lot of people don't know, things weren't looking real good for us. Mm. And so it was a great thing for people back home to see and to be encouraged by. But on the island, it was anything but that. It was really terrible. And of course, you can read about it in a lot of the history books. But Dad was working on the beach under fire that day when he saw the flag go up. And a lot of people don't know there were two flag raisings. The first one, the flag was pretty small, and Lou Lowry was a photographer. And actually, in my book that I wrote, I've got that photograph, and Lou Lowry autographed it and put a little note on there. So it's a pretty incredible story, just that story about the two different flag raisings.
Mm.
But Dad's unit, he was in the 31st CBs, and he was called in that third morning because things didn't go as planned. They had thought it would be about a 6-day operation and they would mop it up. But what happened was when they started unloading the equipment on the beach, that volcanic ash, it all just sank. They couldn't get anything off the beach to support the guys who were trying to push in further inward on the island. So they called in the C Company, which was Dad's company, the heavy equipment division, to come and clear the beach. And that's how Dad ended up, his C Company, on the beach that third morning under heavy fire. And they were actually in foxholes those 2 months working on the airstrip. And they built the road. His unit built the road up Suribachi. They call it the road that couldn't be built. The Japanese had tried. They failed miserably. They said it couldn't be done. The CBs did it in a few weeks. Yeah.
Wow.
Don't tell the CB you can't do anything. He will.
I hear you. You know, Bill, I didn't realize there was actually two flag racings. Did you?
No. And the other thing is that was fascinating to me is just asking Tamara that question. And like she said before, one of the ways is to record somebody. And when you ask the question, turn on your recorder. And it was just fascinating to see how much you love getting into the story, Tamara.
I do. And it's a tragic story in a way, but it's also a story of so many of those men that didn't come back. That it's really a story about men who were willing to give everything. And Dad always said, you know, people call him a hero for what he did, and he did win some medals and things, but he always said the heroes are the guys who didn't come back. And that's the way all those guys felt when they made it off that island. They all owed a debt of gratitude to the guys they had to leave behind.
That really sticks with you. And let me ask you a question right quick on the two flag raisings. We know which one we've seen. Everybody's seen is familiar with that. Was that the second flag raising?
Yes, Joe Rosenthal actually snapped that photo, and it was a fluke that he got that. Actually, if you read the whole story, it's pretty mm-hmm. interesting. Yeah. But what happened was the first flag went up, and the Lou Lowry, he was the official military photographer, took the picture. A sniper started shooting at him. He fell down the edge of the cliff there, about 50 feet. Didn't really hurt him, but he broke his camera lens. And he was afraid that he had ruined the photograph, but it actually didn't ruin the photograph. It just ruined his camera. He survived. Nobody got hurt. But what happened was the big wigs out on the big grass, out on the ships, were looking through the binoculars, and they didn't like the flag at all. It was too small. So they sent they had to send out to the ship, get a bigger flag, and then bring it back. It took several hours. And then they raised the second bigger flag for the big brass that they wanted. So Rosenthal just happened to be there at the right place at the right time. So
wow. It's really amazing because a lot of people do not realize that when the United States entered into World War II, they were not the super horse that a lot of people may think. I believe we were a fifth world power at that time, as far as military is concerned and defending. So we not only had to catch up, you know, my goodness, that's why the greatest generation from that group of people were not only the men and women that served, but also the men and women back home who supported the overall mission. I mean, what they sacrificed, everyone sacrificed. It's just really amazing.
And that's what I love reading about World War II and talking to people who are still around, because you get so many stories of how the country pulled together and how everyone worked together as a unit to make sure that we were victorious. Because like I said before, along about the Iwo Jima battle, things weren't looking too good for us. And it was pretty scary. We needed a good victory. We needed one that we would come out, you know, on top. And that's what happened finally on Iwo Jima. But it was a terrible price to pay. Terrible price.
It really was. And my goodness gracious, I can sure appreciate what the men that you interviewed said about the real heroes were the ones that didn't come back. And because that's the ultimate sacrifice. And you're talking about the art of story keeping and getting families involved to be able to record and write down the family history. You know, even if it's just the ordinary, it's very interesting because, you know, a lot of everyday folks, they are just pillars of the community. And that's very valuable, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. And everyone can contribute. And, you know, that's really when you look at the history of the world and our culture, that's all it is. It's individual stories that have been woven together to create a culture and ultimately create our history. And everyone plays a part. I always like to think of people as being part of a mosaic. You know, everyone has a part to play. Everyone has a bit in it. Some pieces may be a little bigger, some pieces are small, but they're all important. And if one is missing, you know, you really notice. And so that's why I think that there's no insignificant people. Everyone is important. And everyone, you know, is a contributor to our fabric. And I think we're all the poorer when we lose those people and we don't get down those stories that they could contribute. And I think it leaves a hole in that family. And I need to repair that.
Yeah. You know, Bill, as she's talking, what's going through my mind over and over again is how valuable the 6-minute webinar would be with someone trying to organize and put all this information together. That would be tremendous, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, more than that, you know, if you learn the 6-minute webinar, there's 12 critical areas that we take you through that are in this 6-minute presentation.
Yeah.
And those 12 areas are all points of questions to ask other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's a brilliant idea. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, you talk about like, for instance, in this case, you know, the struggles with your father being on that beach for 2 months. I can't even imagine, Tamara.
Yeah, he said he didn't remember taking his boots off at any time during that 2 months. He said, I might have, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys said that. They said, we don't remember that. You know, we just, it was survival. Because a lot of times the Japanese would sneak out and they would kill people in the foxholes. Dad, in fact, woke up one morning after his partner in the hole had been, his buddy had been standing watch. And he said, Mac, don't go over. Anybody told him not to go over there. And they have, were pulling out the guys in the foxhole next to him. And they were both had their throats cut that night. So, you know, these guys went through a lot of things that most people, thank goodness, will never have to face. But I'm really grateful they were willing to talk about it. And we need to pass those things on.
Yeah, I can appreciate the fact that your dad doesn't remember taking off his boots, because the last thing that you're going to do, especially in a life and death situation, and you don't know if you're going to have another meal or not, you're not going to take off your boots because you may have to get up and run. And, you know, I mean, it's, that's, you're not going to take off your boots. I can understand that. And man, can you imagine, you know, because I remember, you know, we'd go, you know, a few days without bathing and shaving and peeling them socks off, and whew, things would stand up in the corner by themselves, you know, with all the salt that you sweated, you know, in the jungle. But I can definitely relate to that and appreciate that. And I got to tip my hat to your dad and all the people, the men that he served with there, because that was a tremendous, tremendous sacrifice. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Your Future Is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com, and just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people define their future. You may have heard that a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, a video is worth a thousand pictures. Koji Simaldi says, if you're not using video in 2019, you're going to get left behind. Most people feel lost or confused when it comes to marketing. Preston Martelli is a marketing guru whose strategies are both art and science in growing your business. Preston helps you make the right decisions that are predictable, measurable, and scalable. For additional information about Koji, Preston, or any of our executive training directors, go to our website at speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Last night, my husband was laughing as he was reading about the differences between men and women. According to the article, men get single tuss, or hiccups, more often than women. Everyone knows that women are better at multitasking than men. I'm good at both multitasking and procrastinating, which means right now there are 28 things that I'm putting off until later. What's another word for a person who puts everything off until the last minute? A cunctator. Women blink nearly twice as much as men. And while men can read smaller print than women, women can hear better. In fact, when a woman says, what? She heard you. She's just giving you a chance to change what you said.
It's Margin Never.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
And And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future Is Now is proudly brought to you by the 6-Minute Webinar, SIXMinuteWebinar.com. And I'm joined with Mr. Bill Heinrich. He's the honorary host here on TogiNet Radio, and he's the author of The 7 Levels of Truth. Bill's website is TrueLifePurposeNow.com. That's TrueLifePurposeNow.com. And Bill, I tell you right now, I've learned a lot about the sacrifices and the struggles and the triumphs that these people in World War II, the men and women that served in World War II, especially the men there on that island, Iwo Jima, it's amazing, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, well, it's because of the work that Tamara's done, it's like getting it from a firsthand source. Tell us more about your dad's book. Now, what's the name of it? Where would people get it? And what other books? And also how people could get a hold of you if they have questions.
Oh, okay.
So I'm firing a lot of things at you at once here, Tamara.
That's okay. Dad's book is called A Blessed Life, One World War II CB Story. And it's under my maiden name, Tamara McAnally Bolton. And they can get it on Amazon and Goodreads. It's available on Kindle, too. The other book is... the one we've been talking about, The Art of Storykeeping. I've got a children's book, actually. It's called When I Was Small, and it's under just Tamara M. Bolton. And it tells a little bit about my life growing up. And I think it probably gives some people some ideas about preserving their childhood memories. So that's an option. It's available on Amazon, too. But I appreciate you guys asking about Dad's story, because it's really one of my passions. I meet so many military people, veterans, children of veterans that really wish they had known more about their father, grandfather, things like that. Even people who are in the military don't always talk about those things to their families or to other family members who are in the military, which is, I found kind of odd, but when you get veterans together, they open up, and that was part of the reason I was able to get a lot of the stories, is that I was there among them, and I just listened a lot of times, and then just posed questions, and they felt more comfortable talking amongst themselves, so that's how I got a lot of those interviews done. But when you're talking about doing family, this now switching gears, getting back to the family stories and preserving those, a lot of people have asked me, well, you know, my family just has some kind of unsavory characters, we have stories that I don't think we should tell. Well, let me tell you what, every family tree produces a few lemons and its share of nuts. So, in the South, you know what we call those relatives? Interesting. You know, they're still part of the family. They're going to hang on to them, and they're ours. And boy, if you try to get next to one of them and you're not nice, we'll circle the wagons on you. You know, we protect each other. We all have those. You know, I love the George Bernard Shaw quote. I'll get it out in a minute. It says, if you cannot get rid of the family skeleton, you may as well make it dance. Well, that's kind of why I do in my my storykeeping book, is I tell a few funnies on my own family, not without name. I don't name names, but, you know, I allude to different stories. And I think that's what you can do. You don't necessarily have to call people out by name, but I think sometimes telling those funny stories, telling those little things that are maybe unsavory or whatever, or maybe a little sketchy, I think that's part of who we are. I mean, none of us have pristine backgrounds, you know?
Oh, yeah.
There's always something that's, you know, nobody wants to talk about or whatever. And my aunt, she was one of those people that said, you know, you need to let sleeping dogs lie, you know, keep it buried or whatever. And some things, you know, you can be your own judge about that. Mm-hmm. And some things maybe you should. But I think telling those stories makes our family history interesting. I think it brings a little fun, a little humor into it. And like you said earlier, that's the ones you remember a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of the good. But I think it's important to have a balanced view of mm-hmm. your family. You know, I think people get discouraged if they look at a family and it's like this, you know, the social media family, everything good happens to them. They always look great. Their teeth are always white. They're always smiling. You know, they're on the beach somewhere. You know, you really get sick of those kind of families. I mean, I do. I mean, I want some reality. I want to see the real thing. So I think we do our family a disservice sometimes, our kids, if we don't say, you know, you're having this problem, but let me tell you about your grandpa. When he was your age, this is what happened to him. And, mm-hmm. you know, those kids can see their little eyes light up and go, oh, I'm not the only one. This mm-hmm. has happened before. And see, this is part of that rooting and that grounding that we need so desperately, especially in times like we are having now, that these kids need to know their place in the world. They need to know that they are part of something. That they belong, and, mm-hmm. and we can give them that through these stories and through passing these along to our kids mm-hmm. and our grandkids.
Yeah, it's because
one of the most important things.
I was just going to say it's very important that you, and I'm glad you brought that out, because to the people who are reading, you know, the kids, you know, and grandkids, great grandkids, whatever, it's reading that, and also for someone that publishes a book, they can relate to that, because mm-hmm. they say, hey, exactly. these folks are just like my folks. But if you act like everything is pristine, you didn't have any black sheep in the family, they just probably want to put it down and walk away, you know?
Right. And that's one thing that I think is important, is just make it accessible. Make it something that somebody feels like they can be a part of, you know? And, mm-hmm. and if you're present an unrealistic view of your family, then when your kids mess up, as they will, you know, when you mess up, you feel like you're outside. You feel like an outsider, and you don't want to feel that way. Nobody wants to feel like an outsider. And that's the whole point of story keeping, is to make people feel a part of something, and mm-hmm. to just give them, I don't know, a rooting and a grounding that they really need to just do whatever. I mean, you know, they say if you give kids roots, you know, and wings, like, you know, they can do anything. They can. But they need both. You know, you can't tell a kid, oh, you can do anything you want, and then not give them the confidence and the background and the rooting and grounding they need to do it. You know, it has to be both, I think.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. Because, you know, Bill, one of the important things in life is overcoming obstacles. And, you know, that's very important for our kids to be able to learn that they, too, when they run into a brick wall, if they make a mistake or whatever, it's not the end of the world. And that's extremely important to kids, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I really liked what Tamara said about the social media presence and the fictionality of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I work in the area of personal transformation and helping people get clarity, Tamara. And as I'm talking to people and they're like, oh, you know, I feel so bad about this, or I'm ashamed of it, or whatever. It's like... You're getting the back of the line. This has happened to everybody. We all have those things going on in our life. In fact, that's the fabric that makes life so fascinating.
It's really funny you said that, because that made me think of something my granddaughter said the other day. She's 13, which is a hard age, and she said, you know, I would want to do this. I want to paint. I want to do this. I want to do that. She was naming all these things, creative things she wanted to do. And I said, well, just do them. And she said, but I'm not any good at it. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, just do it because you want to do it. I said, because it's a part of you want to express. You don't have to be good at something to do it. And she looked at me like I had just opened a window. And it was amazing, because she says, I think I will. And I said, mm-hmm. well, you do it. And that's what we need to do. We need to encourage our kids to not be held to such a standard, you know, an unrealistic standard about everything you do. Just do it because you want to do it and you love it and you enjoy it. That's the whole point.
That's exactly great advice, isn't it?
Yes, because they can rework it if they want to, can't they? Or do it again.
Exactly. They can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tell you, it's, you know, Tamara, I got to, you know, tell your dad, thank him so much for his service from one veteran to another. Yeah. And tell him I'm plumb proud of him and the greatest generation. It's quite an honor that he was part of that. And it's a wonderful blessing that he is still with you. I salute him. I really do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I will let him know. And yes, I'm blessed to still have him around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Bill, I tell you, I really like the fact that, you know, getting the story out there and the family history and sharing the truth, you know, like she said, mm-hmm. don't put the names down. In my family, if I wrote a book telling the truth about some of the individuals, everybody would know who that individual is.
Yeah.
They would, but they would be more forgiving than you'd think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, when it comes to mothers, I remember one time on Mother's Day, I was standing up and I had to make a little speech. And I says, you know, one of the things I want to salute is the mothers, because you definitely build character. And I says, right now, as I look out across the audience here, I see a lot of characters. And everybody cracked up. And it's just wonderful to have you here. And Bill, I tell you, this is the kind of shows that we really enjoy doing, brother.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. Seemed to go by so quick. Thank you very much, Tamara.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, Tamara, thank you much. And we're so glad you tuned in today, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure and watch us, share the show with others. We're on all the major platforms. We're on iTunes. And we'll be back next week. Have a good weekend.